Hey, everybody, this is Gina Tremurco.
And Rachel Tipton.
And we are
Women Your Mother Warned You About,
the new podcast that does what?
Makes sales sexy again.
What's this podcast about, Rachel?
It's a blend of best business practices and real life hacks, and it's filled with laughter, random chatter, practical advice, and some serious stuff.
It's not just for women, though, right?
No, it's a blend of best business practices and real life hacks for men and for women.
Listen to us on the Sell or Die Network,
womenyourmotherwarnedyouabout.com.
Listen to us on iTunes, Stitcher, Overcast, and anywhere that you can find podcasts. And
be sure to subscribe, comment, share our podcast, and give us a review. Tune in and listen to Women Your Mother Warned You About,
the podcast that makes sales sexy again.
You've been warned.
It's time for a Sales Manager Spotlight, brought to you by Death Wish Coffee, the world's strongest coffee. And we're going to be talking to some of the world's strongest and smartest sales managers.
What they like, what they fear, how they hire. Doesn't matter if you're a manager, doesn't matter if you're a salesperson, it doesn't even matter if you're just a person. You're going to learn something from these top leaders from around the country.
And with that, it's time to get this week's Sales Manager Spotlight. Let's go to the boss's office. I promise, this time, it won't be scary.
Mike Brooks is the Director of Sales and Marketing at Audit Sales Presentation Systems. Mike also has a digital marketing firm, and he juggles between one and the other. But it's obvious from my conversations with Mike that he has balls, and he's using them to build this particular business where he helps IT people become passionate about their process rather than logical about their process. He is also a master martial artist. Does that mean you're a black belt?
You have a third degree black belt, not a master.
Yikes. A third degree black belt. I only have like one black belt, but I use it to keep up my jeans. And obviously he focuses on discipline, and that is something that I think we should talk about. Diehards, please welcome the great, the disciplined, the ballsy, Mike Brooks.
Thank you, Jeffrey.
You're welcome.
Pleasure to be here.
So tell me about how you equivocate martial arts and sales leadership.
You know, well, so martial arts is all about discipline, focus, self-control. But really at its core, martial arts is about learning. You know, it's about being a learner. And when you, I don't care how good you are at athletics or what your background is, when you put on that white belt for the first time, you're going to look silly. You're going to feel silly. You're going to have a hard time with the movements. The movements mm-hmm. are so intricate mm-hmm. and fine, you know, fine tuning as a martial artist is so, it's a lifetime process. And it really taught me from a pretty young age. I did it from the time I was a teenager, to accept the fact that you have to learn stuff. And that's an important skill, I think, you know, I've come to appreciate in my maturer years.
Yeah, but let me just say this. That's not just a mental discipline. It's both mental and physical, correct?
Oh, absolutely.
I have a book in my library. It's called Every Great Chess Player Was Once a Beginner.
Yeah.
So at some point, Bobby Fischer is going, a pawn? What's that? And that you have to recognize is there's you take those one step at a time.
I think people have a hard time with that, though, especially the older we get, the more stuck in our ways we are. And I meet people all the time that and I feel it in myself. It's constantly trying to discipline myself that I need to shut my mouth and allow myself to learn, even though I think I'm an expert at the thing I'm an expert at. And that's what martial arts is. You're never really a master. You never really master something.
Well, obviously, you're attractive. The person on my right is the great Zach Krupp, who is part of our team, our sales team.
And thank you, Jeffrey.
Young person who he brought his own balls with him from home. And but you were good enough to where you found each other, correct?
Yes. So yeah, actually, it was Jennifer who found me. I was in one of your Facebook Lives, and she thought I was Mike Brooks.
Oh, the other Mike Brooks.
The other Mike Brooks.
Yeah, that's actually a funny story.
That's cool.
I had to point out that I was not. She got very excited that Mike Brooks, Mr. Inside Sales, who I love Mike Brooks. I hate him because he's taken all of my social media stuff. He got there like days before I did. I was a very early adopter of social media, but he was there a couple weeks probably before
wow.
me.
Close. So why don't you just put Mike Brooks blackbelt3.com?
Yeah. Well, I have a couple of different domain names out there with my name, but you know, being able to have Mike Brooks at Twitter instead of Mike S. Brooks or Michael S. Brooks or
yeah, that's bullshit. No, it's Mike Brooks black belt.
I love it. I'm going to do that. We're going to do that as soon as we get off.
And I think you should do Mike Brooks Presents.
I like that. I'm jotting that down. Got my notebook handy.
All right, cool. So Zach has a couple things that he wants to talk to you about as well. He's intrigued by the fact that your LinkedIn is so good and that you're capable of attracting people. And Zach makes presentations every day. So I want to let you dialogue about what do you think it takes to make a great presentation. And I certainly want you to talk to our diehards about the red and the green aspect of your audit system.
Yeah, sure.
Take it away, Zach. Ask him something. Be cool.
Be cool. Okay. Yeah. I mean, in the terms of the LinkedIn, you brought it up. I mean, LinkedIn, you have, it's a great source these days. A lot of people, you know, you hear the difference between is cold calling dead? That's an ongoing subject that we hear about a lot. And I think LinkedIn, I found to be a more heavily utilized resource these days that you can take advantage of to reach clients and book appointments. So for you and in your line of work, having such an attractive LinkedIn, having a full scale profile, have you found that has been essential or critical to some of the success that you've had using that social selling or social media marketing, however you want to word that?
Yes, absolutely. But it's only like a small part of it. So it's kind of a yes or no. When I don't work all of the other things, like mm-hmm. it doesn't do anything for me. It generates salespeople trying to sell me something.
Sometimes. Sometimes you got to be careful of that. They could be a prospect in disguise.
Well, yeah. Yeah, that has happened.
Like, hey, your presentation's so shitty. Why don't you try my stuff?
But it works. You know, I really I've been utilizing it for, which is why the audit, even though I have two companies, why mm-hmm. audit is above my other company right now. It makes it look like that's my only job right now. And if you look carefully, you'll see both are from whenever to present, but audit is up there first. My marquee or my headline is about what we do for our clients in audit. And the outreach that I'm doing behind the scenes, contacting people, that works. You know, I can see the link between the connections and between opt-ins at our, you know, things happening on our system. So it's definitely something really, really important to have your LinkedIn profile dialed in for sure.
So if you can give us a tip, I know you said you use it for outreach and you know, connecting with other people. But what I've found is being on there, a lot of times, you know, you reach out and you send that initial invitation and you get left on read, right? You don't get replied to. So what's one thing that you use to make sure that you can make successful connections instead of just saying, you know, hey, it's Mike. I see we have mutual connections. I thought it would be of great value to reach out. What's one tip you could give people?
Please respond. I'm a black belt third degree.
Right, right. Well, you know, it's number one, it's about the connection request. So giving them something, obviously, I think this is an obvious thing today in 2018 is don't just hit the connect button and let it go, you know, with the default LinkedIn request. Mm-hmm. I customize it. I look at their profile. I try and find a commonality. If there's no commonality, it's just, you know, hey, we're both in the same industry. I love connecting with folks and I hope you accept my request, something personalized. If I can make it personal to them, even better. But then also being in their community. So I'm in all of the groups. They see me posting things. They see my videos. So by the time hopefully they see my connection request, maybe they've gotten an email from me. I'm hitting them in different ways. So it's not just, you know, working it in one way. It's a process.
Did someone ever said, wow, Mike Brooks wants to connect with me?
Jennifer did, but it was the wrong Mike Brooks.
That's cool. But just understand this, the object of LinkedIn and what you're doing and posting and putting yourself out into your marketplace as a person of value, that's the right thing to do.
Right.
And as a result of it, like I've been doing it for 25 years. When I request somebody to be part of my LinkedIn, I send a two-word request, link me. And they do. Yeah. But it's only because I have a history, right, and I have a reputation. You have to. There has to be something that reeks of real.
Right.
It can't be, oh, I see we both like the Phillies. That's not real to me. What's real to me is I have five tips that I think are absolutely perfect for you. Here's four. The fifth one is after we become LinkedIn connections. I mean, there's crap you can do that's kind of fun. And let me just say back that your the name of your company, Audit, for those of you who are listening diehards or even watching, it's AUD, capital AUD, and then capital I, capital T, indicating that he's in the IT niche. Is that fair?
That's absolutely.
Okay, so I get it. And I'm sure other people who look at your name or your logo also get it. So you've concentrated on the IT niche and you have actually figured out a way to let people know, like, dude, I'm about to audit your IT. Really? What? Right. Well, your presentation probably blows. Okay, it's right. That's right. So can I have a shot at fixing it? Yeah. And boom, you're in the door. I don't think it's a tough pitch.
Right. Is it? No, it's, it's funny in the IT industry, we're very new. So when IT folks see us, it's a different concept because there really is no other product like what we do. And I know everybody says that, but it's absolutely true right now. We're in that magical window where there is no competing product in that market, which I probably shouldn't say. The thing that
there will be tomorrow.
The thing that competes with us most is a very technical. Everything's very technical. Ours is non-technical. And really, our client isn't – our client is the IT industry, but they use it for their client, right? They use it for their prospect or for their client who's, like, you know, not a technical person. And these technical guys go in to do a presentation, whether it's for a customer or a prospect, and their eyes roll in the back of the head, you know, so it makes it simple.
So diehards, let me explain why Mike Brooks is very important for you to understand. Mike Brooks has taken a traditional logical presenter and a traditional logical presentation in IT. And by injecting a learning tool that says, hey, this is a red, this is logical, this is green, this is emotional, he has changed the game in IT from logic to emotion. And it's the same thing that you need to change in your presentation. So if you look at your slides that either you made or marketing provided for you, you have to make certain that there is an emotional trigger in more than half of your slides, or something's going to be drastically wrong with your presentation. The guy will ask you for a proposal. You will send a proposal, and he will or she will never talk to you again.
Absolutely.
So what made you think that, hey, this no one's doing this emotionally. I need to jump into this space. What was that? Where was that aha moment?
You know, I wish I could take credit for that, but it was actually created by a gentleman who's one of our partners. He's the founder of the company. His name's Frank DiBenedetto, and he owns a managed service provider company. He owns an MSP in New Jersey, and he created this because he started to sell more higher value IT solutions. So he went from the typical IT stuff to cloud, mm-hmm. And when you start doing that, it's more expensive and there's not as much room to negotiate. So what was happening is he was losing deals based on price. He was competing with people what he found is that the people he was competing with, the other IT providers, weren't offering the same service. They were just cheaper. And he started going, you know, why are people buying their product when it's inferior? Mm-hmm. My product's more expensive, but it's, and he realized he was not able to show the value. He wasn't able to show why his product was different. So he went down this path of, I need to create in somebody's mind value. And he ended up reading the book that motivated him, was called Made to Stick, which I'm sure you're familiar with.
Of course.
Which teaches, make things simple and emotional. Use, you know, pictures worth a thousand words. And that's what put him on the path of, how can I do something that somebody's going to look at? My prospect, his prospect and his company, they're going to look at it and go, oh, wow, that's a lot of bad stuff on the page. How do we fix it? And they get past price and it works.
Cool. I think you're right. And for you diehards out there, I know you're, you know, looking at Mike, the other Mike Brooks, which might be a good book title for you as well. as a person who has figured out that logic's not working. And if you don't go to the emotional side, and I mentioned it briefly in passing, but this Mike Brooks is a third degree black belt. And with that comes a hell of a lot of discipline, a hell of a lot of learning, a hell of a lot of athleticism, but you have to be a student every day. And you have to be passionate about what you want to do. You don't make black belt because you're logical about it. You make black belt because you're passionate about it. That,
right.
And you're always going to find a teacher who's a fourth degree or a fifth degree or an eighth degree or a tenth degree. And maybe one day when you're a tenth degree, then you can teach other people. But in the meantime, you're a schlub. You're only a third degree. Correct?
There's always somebody better.
Yeah. So that's the way you have to look at it. And if you're in sales, somebody out there is going to be better than you. But if your passion is better than their passion, you have a better chance of winning that deal. Yeah. If the customer can get your emotion and your emotion is transferable to the other person, you have a shot, diehard, at winning a deal when you may not be the best, but you are the most passionate and you are the most forceful in terms of transferring your message. That's where I'm at. With me, Mike?
Absolutely.
If you're a sales leader and you just heard this segment and you're thinking, man, I really should get that Gittimer Learning Academy, stop. You need to get the Learning Academy for your entire team so they can get better. And you can track, measure, and monitor everybody on your team after they've taken the assessment and learn about how good they are and or where they need help. And you as their leader can now actually coach them to victory.
If you're a strong, smart, successful sales manager and you want to be featured in our Sales Manager Spotlight series on Sell or Die, all you need to do is email sellordie@gittimer.com. If you know someone or you have a favorite sales manager who's amazing and should be featured, nominate them at sellordie@gittimer.com. Until next time, I'm Jen Gluckow.
And I'm Jeffrey Gittimer, reminding you to get out there and sell something, even if your ass falls off.
Sell or Diehards. If you love the show, make sure you've subscribed.
And if you've subscribed, make sure you rate us on iTunes or give us a star on Overcast.
And if you've done all of that, tell a friend about the best sales podcast on the planet. Or better yet, tell both your friends.
And if you've done all of that, well, you're a true sell or diehard, and we thank you.
This has been a presentation of the Sell or Die Network. For more podcasts that you can take out into the street and turn into money, visit sellordienetwork.com.